Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. Filled with thanksgiving, Lord, to you. Lord, you are our healer. You, Lord, are our restorer. You, Lord, are the one who makes us brand new. Lord, we are complete in you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your ministering presence is here, Lord. And we receive from you that touch. That touch, Lord. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord, and praise and honor for all that you've done. All that you're doing, for working in us your mighty work, your mighty will. We give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your blessing here. Lord, we are in a season of your manifest anointing here in this place, Lord, at Faith Christian Center. Lord, we sense it. We've sensed it in our hearts for a long time. And now, Lord, we are entering into it. We have entered into it. We are seeing your anointing manifest here. Now, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we pray that your anointing, your anointed word would go forth through me, Lord, clearly, that I would speak the words that you place on my heart, Lord, that I'll hear you clearly, and then I'll speak your words. We pray, Lord, that the word itself will find that place in our hearts, Lord. As that seed finds that soil, planted deep, so that it can take root and grow and bring forth fruit pleasing unto you, Father. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are still working on a series called The More Earnest Heed. The More Earnest Heed. And that series starts in the scripture for that is found in Hebrews 2:1, where we are called to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you let them slip. So that what that's telling me is if I do not give the word the more earnest heed, they will slip. The word will slip. So what does that earnest heed mean? It means to fix our mind upon. To fix our mind upon the word. The healing that you need, fix your mind upon the word concerning your healing and what the word says about your healing. You will not find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus went around laying hands on people and making them sick. Never, ever, ever did that occur in Scripture. Why, therefore, do we believe that this sickness is from God? It's not. We're deceived when we think like that. Jesus went about, Hebrews 10:38, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Sickness is oppression of the enemy. And it's time we say it. It's time we declare it out loud and call it what it is. This is not a lesson from God. This is oppression of the enemy. And we need to declare that. But I'm dealing with this, and I'm believing, and I'm standing. Well, you keep believing, and you keep standing, and you fight the good fight of faith, and you lay hold of eternal life, and you, if need be, you fight to the death. But you never acquiesce. You never give in. You never say, it's mine. Don't call it yours, because it's not. It's oppression from the enemy. And Jesus, he took it upon himself. But my wife died from brain cancer. She fought the good fight of faith. She laid hold of eternal life, and she gave us a testimony like none other. None other that I've ever experienced in my life. It wasn't the outcome we wanted, but she fought till she couldn't fight anymore. She fought to the death. And you know what? She defeated death. Because that's the last enemy. Because Jesus defeated death. And one day soon, her body, laying right over here in the old Cairo Cemetery, right across from South Georgia Outdoors, you can see her headstone right next to my daddy's. They're going to rise up together. They're going to meet the Lord in the air. They go first. They go first. You and I, if we're alive here on this earth, we're going to be right behind them. We're going to be right behind them. But that God is going to honor them, and they go first. And we which are alive and remain will go up right after them. I don't know if there's a time gap, how much of a time gap there is. It, you know, the scripture indicates that it's a twinkling of an eye. How quick is that? Have you ever seen a twinkle? Oh, yeah. You young men, you, when you see your honey, there's a twinkle. And she sees it. She saw it. Because that got her attention. Huh, he's got eyes for me. There's a twinkle that the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. And we're going to go up to be with the Lord. But so what if that doesn't fully manifest? What if that healing doesn't fully manifest? It's not up to you to generate it. Our call is to believe God. Our call is to believe. But it didn't show up. Look, the secret things. Deuteronomy 29:29. I go to that one quite often, and I go to the Proverbs, I believe it's 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Quit trying to figure things out. If it's not clearly written in Scripture, then quit trying to figure those things out. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things are known unto the Lord our God. But those things which he's revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Keep searching. But don't put it on God. God, why did you kill my wife? Why did you put this on my wife? He didn't. That happened a long time ago when the serpent said, yea, hath God said, and man, there's just two of them at that time, Adam and Eve, man said, you're right, Satan. You're right, serpent. Did God really say it? They believed the lie, and that brought sin and rebellion, and that broke that fellowship with God, and that's when all the bad entered this realm. Wasn't anything my wife did. It's not anything you've done. It's what we believed a lie. Yea, hath God said. But Jesus has restored that. You know what? There is healing testimonies throughout this congregation right here. And I have one. I have one. Now, it did take surgery, but I was walking around for 4 months with a ruptured appendix. And you don't normally do that and live. You don't live. Your system goes septic and you die. Well, the doctor told me, hey, there's something special going on here. It was after the fact. I was not on the operating table when he told me, but he said there's something special took place there. There's a goo. He called it that, a goo. That's a high-dollar medical term, isn't it? A goo was secreted around that appendix, and all the poison was held in place. So none of it escaped. 4 months, because I had felt a pain right there, lower abdomen right here on the right side, along about November or December. I don't even remember. It came, I laid down one evening, and it left. Well, later that spring, about the end of March, I'd been helping my son Dave coach the middle school baseball, and we're out there throwing batting practice, and I threw 10 or 15 pitches to every player. So I threw a lot, and I just thought I might have pulled a muscle that evening. But I woke up the next morning throwing up, and I called the nursing instructor here at the high school, Miss Hill at the time, and she said, go to the doctor right now. I said, well, I think I'll wait till 8 o'clock. That's when his office is open. She said, go to the emergency room right now. And I did. And one of our friends, Kent Dumas, was over there. And they thought it was kidney stones. But when the doctor saw the picture, he said, that's an appendix. We all have testimonies of healing, the healing power of God. We do. And if we'll search our memory, they'll come back. And you know what we need to do with that? We need to share that. Speak those testimonies out, because they remain alive in you. And they also encourage others. Praise God. There is a manifest anointing in this place. At this time, an anointing to worship. An anointing of restoration and healing and wholeness and soundness. This church has been through some things. It has in years past. It's been through some things. God is the healer, and He wants us to know that His power is here, His healing is here, His wholeness is here, the Word is here, the Spirit of God is here, and He's drawing people in. And we let Him do it. We respond when He says, speak. We have friends, neighbors, family. We reach out to them at that time. But He's the one that builds His church. If we try to build it, The Lord builds the church. And we just need to be faithful when He speaks to us and tells us, hey, call them in. Praise God. So, we are giving the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, so that we don't let them slip. And then in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in you. And we are going to get there probably next week. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of hands. But we pulled back and we said, you know, that salvation is the gift of God to us. And I'm systematic in my thinking. I'm not exhaustive. I don't cover every element, but I want to be systematic in my approach to what we're talking about. So we started at salvation. That's the gift of God, and we need to stir up that salvation. We need to stir it up, because healing, wholeness, restoration is in that salvation experience. It's not just sins forgiven. That is the hugest part of it, is that the sins are wiped away, blotted out, completely removed. But that renewal, that wholeness, that soundness is involved in that. Be made whole is what Jesus said. Be made whole. That's what our salvation experience does. It makes us whole. So we started there, and then we talked last week about obedience. Why call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I tell you? That's what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord if you don't do the things I tell you? So, we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We need to hear the word, but then we need to make application and be doers of the word in our lives. And one of the things We went to the story that Jesus told about the man that built his house on the rock. He dug deep, deep, deep. And we've been talking about the deep things of God that's found in Psalms. Deep calleth unto deep. So there's a lot of fabric being woven here as far as themes and whatnot. The deep things of God are calling to the deep things in us. Take heed, but give the earnest heed to the things that I've said so they don't slip from you. Give those things heed. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. That's a deep thing. Dig deep your foundation. Set your house, your spiritual house, on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing what he says and doing them. Obedience is a deep thing of God, and we need to be that. And now here we are this week. What's next? What's next? Okay. And this you're not going to jump up and shout necessarily. You might. Enduring sound doctrine. Enduring sound doctrine. Well, that's not really something I want to jump up and shout about, David. Well, 2 Timothy 4:3 says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Folks, I think the time is here. The time is here. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're going to find somebody that talks what they want to hear. They're going to say it like I like it. I'm going to go with that camp over there. They will not endure sound doctrine. Sound is the Greek word hygienio. Hygienio. Can you say hygiene? That's where the hygiene comes from. It means to be sound, to be well, to be in good health. It speaks of Christians who are free from any mixture of error. And then doctrine means, all that word doctrine means, and it means a lot, but this is what it means. It means teaching, instructions, precepts. It means learning. So there's coming a time when they will not endure teachings that bring sound health, good spiritual health. And folks, we need to get those teachings that do generate health in us, spiritual soundness. Soundness, you know, that's what we need. And that's what we have. That's what I want to tell you. That's what we have here at Faith Christian Center. You have sound doctrine being taught here, being preached here. Matthew 16, if you have your Bible, I do hope you have your Bible today, or if you can look up on your iPhone or iPad. Let's go to Matthew 16. I don't feel rushed today because you're not reading it before me. So we can just take our time. Matthew 16. This is the way they used to do it. And I kind of like it, actually. Because if you can read the scripture before me, then you could preach it before me. So Matthew 16, verse 13 says this. And we're going to go through verse 23. And Simon Peter answered. Oh, wait, let's go to 13, okay. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who say you? Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples and they that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. But," verse 23, "but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So, in those 10 verses, we see three sources of doctrine. We see three sources of doctrine. We see doctrine from God, we see doctrine from man, and we see doctrine from Satan. God, his revelation came in verse 16 and 17. This is not Peter. This is Peter speaking, but the revelation came from God. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." That revelation came from God. Peter heard it. He saw it. He responded to it. He spoke it forth. That doctrine that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, came from the Father. So we have one source of doctrine identified. The next source, man. So let's go to Matthew 16, same chapter, verse 14. So Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I am? And they said, this is man's response to Jesus' questions. What are they saying out there? What are men saying out there? Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So there is doctrine of men. Doctrine of men. Now hold your finger in Matthew 16, but let's go over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Having our Bible drill this morning. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Listen to this. Verse 7, "Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let's continue reading. "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things. Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." Now this is a very bad place to be. To hold to the tradition of men, rejecting the commandment of God. And I'm here to tell you, you could say it just as well as I could, there's many in Christianity today, worldwide, denominational wide, that hold to the tradition of men and not the commandment of God, or not the word of God. There's many things in the scriptures that have been carved out and cut out and set aside as not for today. And that's exactly where we're headed. My friends, when Jesus died, he was buried. 3 days later, he was resurrected. He delivered his pure blood to the throne of God, to the ark, to the mercy seat in heaven, because he told them, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to my father yet. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't defile him. But he came back and he ministered for 40 days after his resurrection in his glorified body on this earth. And he ministered to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And then that day came when he said, I must go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. I must go to my Father in heaven. And he, as he was talking, he ascended to heaven. 10 days later, that was the Feast of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit was given. It was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. Tongues of fire sat upon them, and there was witnesses. And they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. But they heard them. They thought they were drunk. They thought they were having a drunken party. They didn't understand it. Carnal mind doesn't understand the things of God, the spiritual things of God. They didn't understand it, but they heard them speaking forth in languages that they understood. Something was going on. And then Peter, the one who denied the Lord 3 times, hid, hiding out, scared, stood up in the temple and preached. And thousands were added to the church. I mean, there was a tremendous change that took place in the church. Let's back up. Jesus ascended. The Holy Spirit came. Dispensationally, nothing has changed since that day. Nothing has changed since that day. The church age began. Guess what? We're still in it. We're still in it. It's going to change. The next great event on God's timeline is when all our dead loved ones hear that trumpet and they're raised up. And then those of us that are alive and remain be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We'll be changed instantly. That's the next event on God's calendar. The rapture of the church is the next event on God's calendar. But nothing has changed except that the church age has been in existence now. Depending on the year it took place, most say 30 AD, well, we're 1,993 years after that year, so the church has been in existence for that long, give or take a year or so. Sound doctrine. There's some that aren't going to listen to it. There's some that are going to say no to that. All I just said right there. They're going to say no. It's not that way, David. When the last apostle died off, God took back all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't even make sense to me. If he took back the gifts, did he take back the fruit? Did he take back love, joy, and peace? Huh? Did he take back long suffering? Did he take back gentleness and goodness and meekness? Did he take back self-control? No. God gave his church these gifts, these fruit. Let's start with the fruit because we need them. I need love, joy, and peace operating in my life along with all the others. I need that. I need those fruit. They're in there, and I need to cultivate those. I need to fertilize those fruits of long suffering. When those children start getting on that last nerve down there at the schoolhouse, I need some long suffering because I'm suffering. I just need to suffer longer. I don't need to be so quick tempered. I'm playing with y'all. They love Mr. Coleman because I'm like grandpa to most of them. But my folks, the fruit of the Spirit are vital to you and I. The gifts of the Spirit are also. And that's where we're headed. But we're not there yet. Doctrine must be sound. Must be sound. 1 Timothy 6, 1. Oh, I didn't finish Satan's. I didn't finish Satan's doctrine. That's important. I jumped. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. So we have doctrine from God, revelation that he gives us of who he is, of who Jesus is. We have doctrines of men. And what were we getting at? Traditions that pull away. This is so sad, this scripture. Let's read Matthew 15, verse 6. Jesus is talking about some obscure tradition that the Jewish people had. So it's not highly relevant to us, but there's a statement in here that is most relevant to us. And verse 6, "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God. You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You have made the word of God of no effect in your life because of your tradition. That's a scary place to be, folks. Well, where is the power of God? Oh, it's here. You get rid of your tradition. Get rid of your tradition. Your tradition is holding back and nullifying the power of God. But I believe, I'm in a church, though, that doesn't. And we're speaking to folks out there in the world. Now, we're going global with the YouTube. You understand that, right? We're reaching the far ends of the earth. So I want to make this point. But I'm in a church where nobody believes this. They don't even read Acts. They pulled it out of the Bible. They don't believe it. They don't hold to it. Listen, here's hope. Romans 3:3. "What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged." So what does that tell me? It tells me that my faith works. I don't care who's around me in their unbelief. If I hold fast to the word, if I hold fast to the faith, if I put my trust in the Lord, my faith will work. It will produce that which is promised. Abraham, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to bring to pass. Old man, 100 years old, having children. Praise God. The promised son came at a time when it was in the natural impossible. No amount of possibility existed in the natural. But Abraham was fully persuaded. And you know what? It was counted to him for righteousness. For righteousness. And so even if things don't turn when we think they should turn, you hang in there and you keep believing. You keep believing and you don't stop believing, because it's counted unto you for righteousness. God sees that faith. He sees that. He calls it righteousness. And folks, our life, is, if we live to be as old as Abraham, if we live to 100, it's such a short time in the eternity of God. He's got a big plan out there for us. He's got a big plan for you, right? He's got a plan for you. And your faith right now, what you believe, if you stand strong and the winds are blowing, the doctrines of men, the traditions of men are trying to drag you along with it. You say no. Every family member in your household could be saying, "Follow us. Follow us. We have the traditions of men. Follow us." I stand in faith. I had to do that 3 years ago. Dealing with Mama, she had gotten the COVID bug, and I was dealing with it. And our nephew, my nephew, her grandson had just died at 45 years old from it down in Orlando. And we have family. I said, I'm standing in the wisdom of God's word. I don't need the common sense of man. I'm holding fast to the word and what it says. Mother strong in faith. And the Lord gave us something for her to do in the natural to keep that mess from going down her throat. And it was, get up out of your chair, mother. Sit here at the table. And she sat there for a whole day with her head down. I didn't make her do it. That was her choice. But that prevented that junk from just crawling down her throat. Folks, traditions of men will make the word of God of no effect. We've got to kill tradition. We've got to kill these things in our lives because we all, spiritually speaking, we all came from somewhere. I was 10 years old when my father and mother were invited out of the largest denomination in the Southeast. They said, no, they said, we don't want you. Take your faith. Take your Holy Spirit and go. And they did. And I grew up after that going to churches in theaters or people's living rooms or rented hotel rooms or banquet halls for hotels or whatnot. I mean, we were just wherever we needed to be to preach the gospel, to be in church. Tradition drove us out. Not our tradition, traditions of others. And you've all, most all of you have experienced something similar. Folks, the tradition of men make the word of God of none effect. And then there's one more. Doctrines. The last source of doctrine. We read in Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23. And it says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. It's almost like, Jesus, come here, Jesus. Come here. Come over here with me. Come over here with me. We got to talk, Jesus. We got to talk. And then he said, Peter rebuked him. Peter rebuked the Lord and began to, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, what was the source of that? The source of that was Satan. Satan put that in Peter's heart to say that to the Lord. The Lord's revealing the plan of God to his disciples. Did they hear it? Did they even hear what Jesus was saying? Because it seems like when we get over to the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection, they were just at a loss for what's going on here. What's going on here? Lord, this can't be happening to you. Well, he's telling them over here in Matthew 17, 10 chapters before that. They're not hearing him. And Peter's rebuking him. But Jesus said what? He said, this doctrine that you're trying to promote is from Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. You're not hungering for the things of God. You're not tasting of the things of God, but those things which be of men. That third source, lie. Let's go to one last scripture, 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. And we're talking right now about doctrines from Satan. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, verse 2. Wait a minute, let's start in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, and we're there, some shall depart from the faith, some are, from giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Doctrines of demons, lies and hypocrisies. That's a doctrine of demons. That's what doctrines of demons promote, lies and hypocrisies. It sears the conscience. It forbids what God allows, and it commands what God does not allow. And we see a lot of that going on. We see it in the world, but it's crept into the church. There's a lot of that in the church. And we need to be sound in our doctrine, in what we believe, in the teachings of that we hold fast to. We need to be sound. We need to lay hold of God's Word, the teachings of God's Word. And I know this isn't really, when you talk about doctrine, let me tell you something. You want unity, be sound in your doctrine. You be sound in your doctrine. You want love to manifest, you be sound in your doctrine. You want the good things of God, His manifest presence, His manifest anointing to take place in this church, you be sound in your doctrine. Hold fast to the Word. Hold fast to the truth of His Word. It's unsound to think that God puts an illness, a sickness on you to teach you His ways. God doesn't use evil to promote good. He does not. Can good things come from an evil situation? Well, your heart needs to be turned to God. But when there's a pressure on you, that's when you run for sure to His presence. God's able and capable, and He will take any situation and turn it to good. But He is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of disease. He's not the author of calamity or confusion. That's Satan. That's a doctrine of devils. Well, what about your wife's situation? She didn't make it. Yes, she did. She's right where I want to be. She's right where you want to be. She's standing before the throne of God, and she's worshiping the Lord. She's ministering unto the Lord, and that's where we're all headed. That's where we're all headed. Praise God. Yes, her faith took her to the throne room of God. And it's going to take us to the throne room of God too. But, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Lean not to your own understanding. In every way, in everything, you trust God. You trust God. You trust God. Can we do that? Can we trust God? Even when I don't understand, my mind wants to figure it out. My mind wants to know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Jesus told the man, the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter was dead or dying, he said, fear not. Only believe. And then in another place, I was trying to tie this one. Said in another place, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. The thought I don't want to speak out of my mouth is the one that promotes unbelief. I will not give unbelief the voice in me. I will not. So when I have those questions that they come, I quiet them. I say, no. I'll have all the answers soon enough. I don't have to try to figure it out now. I don't need somebody trying to tell me I don't need somebody telling me, hey, God needed another angel in heaven. Oh, yes, that was told me over there at the cemetery. No, 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 no. It wasn't the outcome we wanted naturally, but you know what the outcome is? She's there. She's right there, and it's a twinkle of an eye before we go up with her. As far as heavenly time's concerned, there's no... You think they're watching the clock up there? The Father is. The Father is. He knows the time. He knows the day and the hour when he's going to send Jesus back. But, let's just keep our doctrine sound. Let's keep our understanding sound. Where's it leading, Dave? Let me give you a clue. Let me find it. Because there's something I want to leave with you. And I want to read it. We'll get into it next week, but we're closing out right now. Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 37 through 42. We'll pick up right here next week. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. What was that? To you, to your children, to all that are far off. That's you and me. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. We are living out the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship that we share in the breaking of bread that we do at the Lord's table and in our homes. And in our fellowship hall, there's something special about eating a meal together. There really is. And Wednesday night, we're going to fellowship over here in the fellowship hall. Come and join us. And in prayers. Folks, we're living this out right now. We cannot carve out any part of that and say it's not for us. You're living in a tradition of men when you say that. No, we are living out this New Testament right here, right now. And God wants you to receive all that he has for you. All of it. You've got to make up your mind that you want it all. It's up to you. He's not going to force any of it on you. He's not going to force it on me. We have to want it. Here's the gift. I'm taking it. I'm receiving it. Let's leave it right there today. We're going to pick up right here next week. Lord, you are leading us in the way that we should go. And we're following after you, Lord. Lord, that you're calling us, Lord, to believe, calling us to another level of faith. Lord, the deep things that you're sharing with us are calling to the deep places in our hearts, Lord. Make room for what I have for you, says the Lord. Make room for it. We might have to move some things around. We might have to get rid of some things. We might have to to cull some things in our lives. Some things that have our attention, we might have to cut them loose. God is saying, make room for me and what I have for you. Can you agree with that? Father, thank you, Lord. We do that. We make room in our hearts for you. Let's all stand together. We make room for you, Lord. We hear your word. Father, may that word spoken, Lord, please allow the Holy Spirit to just take that word and work that word in each heart here today. May that word be safe and protected, Lord, well watered in that soil of the heart, Lord, where no cares of the world can suffocate, where the soil is deep, Lord, and prepared, where it can take root and grow. Lord, you want us to know you in all your fullness. And we give you glory and honor for that. Now, I'm just going to leave. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. But if anybody needs prayer or wants prayer or has questions, I'm going to be down front. But we're going to go ahead and dismiss. So, Father, as we go out, we are the blessed of God. We are blessed of the Lord. And, Lord, we go. Our footsteps drop abundance as we go, Lord. And, Lord, as we come in contact with others, we, Lord, share the good news of the gospel. We share this anointing, Lord, that's in us, that's upon us. We share it with others by speaking forth your word to them as you spark it, as you ignite it in our hearts, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Now, until we come back, Lord, we know that you are with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And you guide us in the way that we should go. We say thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.